So you should be finding in your Bibles 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we will read from verse 13 to the end of the chapter this morning. Okay, let's hear the word of the Lord. It says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and joy." Amen. Father, please help us to hear your word this morning, and from this day forward, Lord, to receive and hear it more willingly than up till now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, friends, if you'll recall, Paul opened this letter by telling the Thessalonian believers how thankful he is for them. Actually, if you want to flip back to the other page, or I have to flip, you can see that in chapter 1, verse 2, how he gives thanks and tells why he is so thankful. And there was a little list of reasons. He says, chapter 1, verse 3, "We remember with joy your work of faith, your labor of love, and the endurance that is a direct result of your hope in the return of the Lord Jesus." And so Paul here has been, as we said, reminiscing about his first ministry among the Thessalonians and its initial success. And he has been describing here in chapter 2 the genuineness and the sincerity and the sense of responsibility toward God with which he and the others have announced and shared with these Gentiles the truth about what God did in Jesus Christ. Be a faithful minister of Jesus. That's always Paul's aim, to be faithful to God first. It's what he then charges Timothy to do when he passes the baton to him. As God's man, as God's messenger, be faithful to God first, whether or not you have a lot of success in the harvest field, because the Lord knows there's going to be mixed results. The Lord said as much himself, if you'll recall, in the parable of the sower. Okay, you sow the seed, and what happens? Some of it ends up being of no effect at all because of the evil one. Some of it draws a good response for a short time, but it kind of peters out. Some of it lasts a little longer, but eventually it fails because of worldliness, because of various desires, competing desires in the hearts of the hearers. And some of it yields good fruit, lasting fruit. Now, of course, it's those only that make the preacher's heart happy, isn't it? And Jesus himself got mixed results, didn't he? There were some who received his word and some who resisted his word. There were some that made his heart overflow with joy in the Holy Spirit, and some that caused him grief. Okay, so receiving or welcoming, you'll see, is the key word here in verse 13, our first verse today. Receiving is the key idea. As Paul, now he's continuing that train of thought from the beginning of the letter where he said, "We give thanks to you." And he adds another list, another reason to the list. Okay, he says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because," and here's why we're so thankful, "when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it," not as men's word, okay? You've heard a lot of men say a lot of things, okay? But our word is, in truth, the word of God. The seed that you sow is the word of God, and that word effectively works, verse 13, effectively works in you who believe. Okay, you received the seed. You were good soil. It's this item on Paul's list that is responsible for the existence of all the previous items. It's only because the Thessalonians received the word of God that they were ever enabled to produce this other fruit, the labor of love and faith and hope and good works and so on. Actually, I want you to see something. There was a kind of a strange words in verse 9 of chapter 1, kind of an unusual wording. He says, they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. And well, what's he saying there? It's just a kind of a roundabout way. What manner of entry? The NIV makes it clearer by saying they declare what kind of reception you gave us. Okay, you received us. Everybody knows in Macedonia and Achaia how you received us apostles and you received our message. That's what he's saying there in that verse. So I just want to consider for this morning this idea of receiving the word of God and what the eventual outcome will be for you and for me and even for God himself, depending on whether or not you do receive the word of the Lord and what you're going to do with the words that you hear. You see that the word receiving, as it is here, it must mean something more than just being present to hear. Okay, everybody in the room, everybody here is doing that. You all got here today and you're present. But it doesn't mean that you're all receiving the word of God. Yeah. It means even more than listening attentively, in fact. Most everybody here is listening attentively, I hope. But even that, even if you say, I am listening attentively, I hear what you say, it's still more than that. I said last week, you owe God your attention, you owe him your attendance. But it goes deeper than that. You know, I can listen to a man lecture on about some subject, and I can hear him clearly, I can understand, the gist of his argument and his points, and then when all is said and done, I can completely disagree with him. Or, maybe I can just say, well, that didn't interest me at all. I heard you. If somebody were to come and lecture about, global warming or something like that, I can listen to your case. I hear your science evidence, and, I can hear you make all of the points you want to make. And then when you're all done, I'll say, well, you're just plain wrong. I just don't agree with what you said. And fine, I heard you, but you're just wrong. Or you could have a guy come and lecture on about something that you just don't care about. An art history teacher could come and tell you about Vincent van Gogh's love life or something like that and how that affected his painting. And okay, for all I know, you're right. I just don't care. There's an exhibit right now at the Franklin Institute that to me sounds really interesting. It's Genghis Khan. Sounds really fascinating to me. I might just go. And there's other people who say, I wouldn't go if you paid me. There's the information. It's out there. What are you going to do with it? And so being present to hear is one thing. Even listening attentively is another thing. But that still doesn't mean that you received, that the word made a connection. And that's how it is with the word of God. Yeah. Here's his revelation. It's out there, okay? Regarding the purpose of your life, regarding the forgiveness of your sins, matters of immortality, reconciliation to God, power for living your current life, the coming of Christ to rule this world, and we're so happy and expectantly awaiting that, immortality, okay, this is all the word of God. It's out there. It's being preached. It's being presented. What are you going to do with it? Up there is a guy standing there like Paul, who is, like he said, exhorting and charging you to walk worthy of the kingdom of God, who the Lord Jesus, who died, suffered for you, and was raised again. Here's a man speaking the things of God to you. Now, what's your response? Okay, one possible response is, if you'll consider verses 14 through 16, one possible response is resistance or hostility. Okay, not just ignoring, but active hostility. And so we see the case of hostility in the case of these who drove Paul out of this town, drove him out from Thessalonica, and then chased him down to the next town. There's always a measure of this callous element, hostile element, whenever men have been presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, who is the very Word of God incarnate, he encountered this hostile element, didn't he? He was in the beginning with God. He was with God. He was God. He came to his own, and what? His own did not receive him. They didn't receive him. Stephen said to them, "You stiff-necked, hard-hearted, uncircumcised in ears and heart, you always," what? "Resist the Holy Spirit, just the way your fathers did. Was there ever a prophet that your fathers didn't kill? You even killed the ones who said that the Messiah was coming. And then you killed the Messiah himself. You are the ones, you have God's word," he says. "You are the ones who've gotten the law of God from Mount Sinai, but you haven't kept it." So right there, that tells you that it's not enough to have the Bible preached in your presence. It's not enough for you to be in possession of the Word of God, to own a copy of the Bible, or to even read it, or to attend a Bible-preaching church. Because indeed, the Jews were the recipients and the custodians of God's law and the prophets and the Psalms. And the Bible says Moses is read in all the synagogues every week. There it is. There's the Word of God. But despite all of that, the Jews in Judea said, "We want him crucified." Pilate says, "Why? What has he done? What crime has he done?" They said, "We don't want to, okay, crucify him." And then he says, "I don't want to have this man's blood on my hands. I'm not going to be responsible for his blood." And they said, "Fine, we want him off of the face of the earth. Let his blood be on us and on our children. Away with him." And they killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, he says. "And they have persecuted us." Okay, they stoned Stephen. They cut off James's head. They gave Peter and John a beating. They arrested Paul. They ambushed Paul. They wanted Paul's blood. Okay, they beat him with rods. They wanted him dead. Paul says they are against all men. Verse 15. Okay, they are against all men, because they're trying to prevent us from bringing this message to them that will save them. And Jesus condemned the Pharisees for just exactly that same thing. He said, "Woe to you hypocrites," because he says, "You shut the door to the kingdom of God in men's faces. You yourselves don't go in, and you prevent others who would go in from going in." And he says to them, "How are you going to escape the condemnation of hell? You are men in whose hands is the very word of God, and you prevent those who would listen from receiving it." Okay? He says to the Jews in the Gospel of John, "We come and we testify concerning what we have seen from God. We're just speaking you the truth, but you don't receive our witness." There are the words. There they are put before you plainly. The message of repentance toward God, for forgiveness of sins, it's, my friends, it is, the message of Jesus Christ is completely reasonable. It is for your own good. It's supported by the words of the prophets, which you say you believe in. And yet, when we testify to you, Jesus said, you don't receive our word. He says, "I'm coming in my Father's name. You don't receive me. You're going to receive someone else who's coming in his own name." He said, "You're foolish and you're blind." There is a consequence to rejecting and resisting the word of God, and that is judgment. Amen. It's judgment. And Jesus said that too. "Whoever does not receive my words has that which judges him. My words," the very words, "are going to judge you on the last day." So you resist, you reject, you are hostile to the word of God, you ignore the mercy of God. The only thing remaining for you then is the wrath of God that will come upon you at last. The justice of God is going to consume you. Now, Jesus was, of course, not the only or the last bearer of the word of God to face this kind of opposition. He was sent, right? He was sent from the Father with this message, but when he went back, he sent others, right? He sent them, he sent his messengers out into the world to do what? Preach the gospel to everyone. Make disciples. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he sent them. Okay, there's that word, the Greek word apostello. We say apostle. Okay, these are those who are sent in the name of Christ. And he said to them, "Whoever receives you receives me. So again, we're back to the same word. We receive Christ. Receive the ones who are sent in the name of Christ. Receive their words. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever received me, he said, receives the one who sent me. So here you have these Thessalonians minding their own business, and into town comes one day this apostle, this opportunity. Apostle comes to them, a man bearing the authoritative word of salvation. Now you have this choice. Are you going to resist, or are you going to receive? Okay, he who receives you receives me. So there's Paul, the sower, going forth with seed to sow. There's a certain take it or leave it aspect to preaching the message of Jesus Christ. You know, and you see it over and over again in Acts, and it holds true to this day, where you know, we just preach the Lord's truth. And some people, they're like the hard soil. The seed just lands on it, and it does nothing, even though it is the very powerful word of God, and it has life in itself. It just lies there and does nothing, and the birds come and eat it up. And some people are the birds, okay? Woe to them. He says, these Jews who prevent us from even speaking God's mercy. Today, I think you see similar kinds of people in various, you see governments and laws. You have some religious organizations and cults and heresies that will forbid you. Just ask the Gideons, right? Gideons just want to pass out Bibles to kids, right? Oh, don't bring that here. You can't do that here. That's against the law. You can't bring that here. Okay, because of such people, precious souls are being prevented from having the word of God in their hands. And the Bible says that men suppress the truth by their wickedness. And it says that men hate the truth and they love a lie, and the condemnation of such people is just. Okay, some people, though, are like the rocky soil. Paul might say they hear our words for a little bit, our apostles' words. And the word seems to make a connection with some of you, and then the Christian life turns out not to be what you imagined it would be. Obstacles come up, hardships come up, and they quit. You know, they can't bear the test. And Paul says those people, we sorrow over them, we weep over them, we plead with them. You know, we try to do everything we can to urge them to hang on and to trust in a mighty God. You know, these trials are part of our life, and you know, they. It's really up to them whether the seed lives or dies. A lot of them turn away. And then he says some people are like the thorny ground. You know, Paul evaluates their lives and says, well, we see that a word of God made some kind of connection there. You know, see, there's a spark of life. He made some progress. Plant grows up some, but they're so distracted about everything else in their life, their busyness and their entertainment and all their chores that they have to do, their love life and their kids, and they always stay weak. And Paul would say of them, you know, we labor and strive to keep their focus on the Lord Jesus. We try to strengthen them, try to teach such people and point out God's instructions for them and call them away from the concerns of the world. And, you know, sometimes they come to us for advice. Sometimes they seem to hear what we say. They seem to understand that the word of God needs to be obeyed, but they don't follow through. You know, they always, their hearts are in the world and they don't receive the word. The enemy always manages to take their eyes off the prize, and so you never see the joy of salvation in such people. They never succeed in the Christian life. And then he says, then there's the good soil. He says, you Thessalonians, you are in a class by yourselves. He calls them my glory and joy. Why? It's because you receive. You know, you don't just come to the lecture, you don't just listen and hear, you actually received my words. That means you received the one who sent me. You received our Lord from heaven himself. You received the one who sent him. You all are just the kind of disciples a teacher would wish for and hope for. You're just the kind of worshipers the Father seeks, worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. And he says, thank God for you. But, okay, keep in mind, Paul is by no means this glad over every congregation that he preaches to. Okay, many of them he sorrows over. Just read his other letters. You know, he's pulling on his hair over some of them. He's telling some of them, wake up and stop sinning. He has doubts about some of their salvation. That's just how it is in the ministry. Okay? You would love to be this glad. I mean, this is a great chapter of the Bible. You would love to be this glad over your whole congregation. But my friends, it just doesn't turn out that way. Why? It's because everything depends on you as hearers, how you hear. Take heed how you hear, because there are different kinds of hearing. Are you receiving into yourself the word of God? Are you like that fertile, dark, rich topsoil where the seed lands and, you know, it finds a nice warm habitat to sprout and grow and put down deep roots? And, you know, there's no rocks, there's no bugs, there's no weedy competition. Okay, are you that good soil? Are you receiving into yourself the word of God? It matters that you are more than just present. It matters that you are more than just attentive. Okay? Paul is not always this glad over his congregations, but you can tell when he's glad. He's really, really glad. Now, here are you, assembled in the presence of the Lord. Like Cornelius' family said, here we are, assembled in the presence of the Lord to hear everything you have to say. Is that so? Are you hearing? Okay. Here is the message of God coming to you through the mouth of one who is sent. Not that I'm an apostle, okay, I think we've straightened that out before, but I am coming to you with the apostle's words.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus was sent by the Father, right? And then Jesus sent the apostles.
Yes.
And the words of the apostles are here in the New Testament, and whoever is faithful to them is standing before you in the power and in the authority of the Lord himself. And you have the opportunity and the responsibility to decide whether to receive me and the one who sent me and the one who sent him. That is your decision. Your decision as to how you receive has an outcome, both for yourself and for me and for God himself. The one possible set of outcomes is salvation for you and felicity and happiness and immortality for you. Great happiness for me, because you heard and you received, and even joy in heaven over a sinner who repents.
Yes.
The other set of outcomes is frustration for me. Maybe if you have children, you know what it's like to talk to a wall, okay? You talk, but you're just not heard, okay? That's the other outcome. Frustration for me, a continued gray existence of continuing error and sin and futility and depression for you. This is for your own good. You can choose not to receive it, but you'll continue on in the path that you're on. And grief for the Lord, who wants you to be saved. He wants you to turn and find forgiveness and eternal life. And in the end, at the Lord's coming, it's going to be judgment. I'm going to be there on that day. Your minister, your preacher, who would love to be jumping up and down for joy with you on that day, rejoicing with you and celebrating in the presence of the Lord Jesus, could be a witness against you instead. Don't make me do that, because I will do it. The good news of Jesus, my friends, forgiveness because of the cross, a sin offering made for you, eternal life extended and offered to you, it is utterly reasonable, it is righteous, it is for your own good, it is for the good of the world around us, it brings you from darkness into light, it brings you from condemnation into life. I have done my best to faithfully preach it to you. You and me, and I say that to each of you as an individual, that you and me as a pair, either our lives are bound up together in the bundle of the living in Jesus Christ together, or they aren't. I am. Okay, I am there in Christ. My life is in him. I don't know about yours. Are you going to be my glory and joy, my crown of rejoicing? That depends on whether you receive my words. Do you come into this room, into this building, seeking to take my words to heart and to improve your walk with the Lord and to increase your eternal reward? Or Are my words just forgotten as soon as the microphone stops echoing? Do you come to church looking to reap the spiritual benefits of the scriptures as diligently as the speaker strives to sow them? So the relationship between minister and hearer has got to be not just a one-way relationship. It has got to be a mutual. There is a giving and a taking. It's got to be a two-sided relationship. That's up to you. I think I'm doing my part. Now, to send you away today, and hopefully on a little better note, I just want to take a minute to address those of you who are my glory and joy. There are some of you, and then there are some of our number who have already gone ahead to the Lord, who I just know that on the day when the Lord Jesus comes, we are going to be so happy together. We are going to especially enjoy his presence together, you and me, because we have become close in Christ. We have labored together. We have talked through and talked over and, you know, made our way through the problems of this church together. We've made improvements. We have searched the scriptures together. We have borne each other's burdens. We've had each other over for dinner. We have prayed for each other's families. We visited each other in the hospital. We have been through some difficult and lean times together. Okay? We really are closer than brothers and sisters, and I can say that truthfully. And I have to say, there are times when, you know, I hear you, when we pray or hold hands and pray, and I hear you pray for me, or I hear you thank God for sending me here, I can't describe that feeling to you, what that is like to hear someone give thanks to God for you and for the fact that you're here. You know, there have been times when a couple of you have come to me after a service and even have been crying at times and said, you know, that changed me today, or God is really with you. That was just what I had to hear this week. Thank you for your effort. Some of you have said, I feel like I learned so much since you came. Those kinds of things, okay? I don't know. I feel like, who am I that the Lord should bless me to be a blessing in that way? It's been my great pleasure to see some of you either commit or recommit yourselves to the Lord to make advances in the faith. You have taken on responsibilities. You have defeated some sins. You have grown in the likeness of Christ. You've renewed your mind. You love the Bible more than you knew that you could. You love the Lord better. You love each other better. You want to be here instead of being dragged here. You want to be here on Sunday nights and on Wednesday nights. And I tell you, folks, if you are missing Sunday nights, you are missing a blessing. Sunday nights are just great. And so all of that, you see, though, is first because you received the Word of God. You received my words as the Word of God. That was first. And these other fruits have come as a result of that. I had to say, particularly last week, and I don't know why it just struck me. Last week was Father's Day. You know, to me, Father's Day, I could take it or leave it. But so many of you said Happy Father's Day to me, who, like, aren't my children. You're older than me. A couple of you sent me cards to say Happy Father's Day. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, how can I be more blessed by it just makes a man feel blessed. And what I'm saying is, it is just so obvious that some of you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are very much looking forward to his arrival, and so you willingly accept the burdens of the brotherhood, okay? You accept the burdens of this life because you know they pay a reward, and I can see in you just what Paul says here, verse 13, that the word of God is effectually working in you, okay? You are becoming like Christ because you believe, because you receive the word of God. It is effectually working in you. So, you know, it's always been my philosophy of ministry that all you got to do is take this. You just got to go up there and unfold the word of God faithfully, and this takes care of all of the rest. This is spiritual food. And it makes a spiritual body healthy and strong because the Spirit of God, the Word of God says about itself that the Spirit of God honors the preaching of the Word of God, and that is all we have to do. And I see that God is truly among you. I see it in changed lives, changed attitudes. I see it in some of your faces when we sing. I see that most of you, some of you, are focused all the way through the message. Okay, I wish it could be so with everybody. I wish it could be so with everybody, but I am glad that it is so with some. Okay, I'm thankful to you. I'm thankful for you because if you've heard me say, I just want to be useful to the Lord. I just want to be useful. And God is giving me proof in you that I am being useful. And I cannot tell you how much joy that gives me. So you are, you saints are my glory and joy because you're good disciples. And, you know, here's Paul says, we were torn away from you. And I feel like, wow, what if I had to go away? It would have to be that, because I don't want to leave. I'd have to be torn away, or I'd have to be pried away, because I wouldn't leave this. I love this. I would really miss you if I had to be away, because being here together, like this room is a holy place. Being together here in the name of Jesus, gathered around the Word of God, with the Spirit of God here, there is nothing I would trade it for. Right, isn't it going to be great to be with the Lord? Yes, of course it is. But until he comes, this struck me this week, the reason we have all of this struggle and trial and things that we have to help each other with and, you know, all of our growing and walking together in the Lord, that's given to us, that's a blessing, because it's actually going to make being with the Lord better. It will make being with the Lord better. If you can imagine that, all of our work and hard service and tears and so on is going to make our time with the Lord more special because we will be sharing it with each other. We'll be sharing that glory and joy and reward together. Like the scripture says, you shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. So, saints, I love you. You know that I do. Let's pray. How good and pleasant it is, Lord God, to be among the saints and to have your Spirit here among us. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that is the bond of love in Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Father, that you would make it increase more and more. We pray, Lord God, that we would leave our sins far behind and run to be with you and be like you and draw each other up higher and higher into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the comforts that you give us all the time. Thank you for the encouragement of your word and for the knowledge that, Lord, you are the most high, most powerful God. We do love you. We know that it was first because you loved us and sent your Son to save us. Thank you for him. Thank you for your compassion and your merciful grace toward us, Lord God. And we just pray that you would add to our number as people see, Lord God, how much we love you and love each other. Lord, help us to serve you even better. These are our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.